In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us.
He is.
What must I do to inherit eternal life? The question the man asked in today's gospel passage. Is that not probably the most important question we could ask ourselves? Maybe we've asked it in different ways. What prayers should I say? What are the right ones? What are the right words? How often should I go to divine liturgy? How often should I spend time in the sacred temple? What are the best books to read? Who are the saints that I should be praying to? Who should be the saints I'm reading and learning about? What good works should I be doing? How much almsgiving should I be giving? How much should I be giving to the church? Nevertheless, such human thinking, in reality, turns Christianity into one more religion. Let me repeat that. All of that human thinking turns Christianity into one more religion. Tell me the rules. Tell me the laws. Tell me the precepts. Tell me what I need to do. What are the correct rituals? What are the moral actions? But that's a human, that's human thinking. It's legalism. It's minimalism. And when you read the Gospels carefully, Jesus the Christ had little patience for such thinking. Cutting through all that erroneous human thinking, Jesus the Christ instructs at the end of the God to this man at the end, follow me, abide in me, be with me. Religion is man's act to reach up to God. Christianity is God's act reaching man. Completely different. Religion is focused on human actions. For example, what's the morality that I should be living in my life? Christianity is focused on God's action of a personal encounter that ends up transforming you and me from within. This is the difference between Christianity and religion. At the heart of that man's inquiry is his self-sufficiency. He's relying on himself, and he's relying on his own human efforts of obedience to precepts, obedience to commandments. Nevertheless, self-sufficiency is a hindrance, an obstacle to communion with God. And that's oftentimes what the Lord is rebuking the Jewish people about in the Old Testament. How much attention they were paying to all the little details, and they lost the meaning of everything. And it was about God being with his people. And weighed down by this self-centered, disordered love, what happens? The human person becomes incapable, unable for an authentic communion with the Lord Jesus Christ because there's too much self involved. Today's gospel passage prepares you and me for the great event of the Nativity. And that's why our church puts this gospel passage on the 13th Sunday. It's when God, what is the Nativity all about? God making his abode with the human race so that the human race can have communion with God. That's the heart of the Christian, of the Christmas event. In response to this ruler's question about, and note the word, what do I need to do to inherit? What do I need to do to possess eternal life? The God-man responds, how? Sell everything you have. Everything you own. Give it to the poor. Then you can have treasure in heaven. And then you're going to be able to follow me. Who was that man in today's gospel passage? The English, not a good translation. St. Luke uses a particular Greek word, archon. Archon literally means a leader. In fact, it was a prominent leader in a community. That meant this archon in today's gospel passage was a man who had status, he had prestige, he had wealth, he had authority. This archon was an elite member of the community, and therefore he was somebody of importance. The Lord's instruction, therefore, cuts to the heart of the archon's real spiritual disease. You're too full of yourself. You're relying too much on yourself and man-made things, and you're missing the point. I didn't come here to bring more laws. I didn't come here to bring more obligations. I've come to give myself. Today's gospel passage, therefore, is less about physical wealth and possessions, and it's more about the wealth of self, which is another way of saying disordered self-love. As we continue our preparation for the Nativity Feast, may our fasting be directed toward ultimately reordering our tendency toward disordered self-love. Otherwise, you're falling into the archon, trying to prove to God by obeying a law. In the popular 20th century book called The Way of Ascetics, Tito Colyander writes these words. He died in the late 20th century, so it's not too far away from our own period. He writes, and I quote him, "Take a look at yourself and see how bound you are by a desire to humor yourself and only yourself. Your freedom is curbed by the restraining bonds of self-love. And thus you wander a captive corpse from morning until evening. Now I will drink. Now I'll get up. Now I'll read the paper. Unless you're led from moment to moment in the halter of preoccupation with oneself." And what does that do? It only kindles instantly displeasure, anxiety, fear, impatience, and anger. End of quote. Apropos words for those of us who live in a first world country like the United States, consumed with consumerism. We are prone to overeat, overdrink, indulge in our entertainments, waste time browsing on the internet, and spending mindless time on the iPhones. So much of that is really self-centered. The antidote Coleander offers is the same that, well, the church has been offering for 2 millennia. Asceticism. The practice of asceticism is the only path to victory over a self-centered life. And we're all prone to that. That's the temptation of all temptations. That was ultimately the temptation of Adam and Eve, and it's not changed for how many thousands and thousands of years. The tendency toward self-centeredness. Asceticism is not a practice for monks and nuns. No, 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 no. The practice of asceticism belongs to every baptized person. The monks and nuns simply take it and they live it more perfectly in their monasteries. But they're living it because it's the call of every baptized person to live a life of asceticism conducive to your lifestyle. So yes, we don't live in the monasteries. So how do you and I, who are living in the world, live asceticism? One's daily life actually has plenty of occasions to practice acts of right, ordered, selfless love. Coleander himself, a layman, offers a few examples. And these are simply to get you thinking. You can take it on your own and reflect. For example, your spouse asks you to hold their coat, his or her coat for him, or carry this pot, or carry these groceries, whatever it might be. Your spouse asks you to do something, and yes, it might interrupt something you're doing, but you stop. How about following the church's instructions about fasting or going to divine liturgy every Sunday? Yes, that's an asceticism. Many people say, well, I don't have to fast. Well, at the end of the day, the church asks us to fast. So as an act of humility, you just fast. Why do I have to go to church every Sunday? Well, because the church asks. It's not about me. It's about what the church asks. A co-worker asked you to go for a walk or for a conversation. I'm too busy. I got too many projects. A co-worker asks. Humility. You listen to the person. You give them some of your time. How about as we're on the road and somebody's trying to get over and you speed up so they can't get in? You've already been waiting in line 5-10 minutes in this traffic jam. No, humility, asceticism. No, I'm going to let the person in front of me. Calling, or better, visiting a homebound person. A person in a nursing home. Or someone who you know has been isolated. And here's a big one. Receiving correction from a spouse, from a child, from your supervisor, from a co-worker, whomever it might be. Receiving correction and not responding. Accepting it. And as one spiritual father told me one time, when I was corrected and a lot of it was false, he told me, don't get upset. You pray to God, say, Lord, whatever I'm supposed to learn from this, I learn from it. And you put the rest away. Don't respond. Don't argue. Indeed, there are countless ways throughout one's day to practice asceticism. And undergirding the life of asceticism are two key important virtues, obedience and humility. And there's two virtues that really stand out with the whole Christmas event of the birth of the God-man are obedience and humility. As you and I therefore continue the Nativity fast, above all, let the fast be an eradicating in our lives the wealth of self, the acts of disordered self-love. That you and I may live more and more the godly life of right-ordered relationships of selfless love. Christ is among us.